I think it starts with looking at your own behavior as a customer. So where do you go for making a search, for instance? You go to TikTok. Where do you go for inspiration? You go to Instagram, check out your reels. So all of that has led to the fact that you need that same type of content experience, differentiating content experience on your own store.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, every 5 episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method, like email or SEO or Facebook ads, and pick up the thread from the last time we covered it. And each episode, new one released every Wednesday, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. At the moment, we've been picking up the content marketing thread again, getting you the latest insight on what content marketing is working in e-commerce. We've explored a whole host of different things, and this is the last of our content marketing episodes for this year. In this episode, we're looking at, I guess, content doesn't have to be copy. We're exploring what's happening in the world of video content, on-site video content. We're looking at shoppable videos, whole load of really fascinating stuff from the cutting edge of what's going on in content marketing and e-commerce right now. Thoroughly enjoyed this chat with our guests, so I know you're going to get lots of ideas out of it too. Do make sure you listen right to the end of the episode, because at the end, my guest will be sharing her quick fire insider tips to help you maximize the performance of your content marketing. And then I'll be sharing my own take on it all and outlining some more free ways we can help you improve your content marketing even further. So stay tuned to the end. Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business, one that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo, that's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my 4-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo. Have you yet downloaded the 500 Top Tips to Make Your E-Commerce Business More Profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook. In this episode, I'm chatting with content marketing expert Iram Ishik. Iram is head of marketing at Storyly, where they're all about helping you to get the right content into the right places on the buyer journey, from discoverability to post-purchase. Iram also spent most of the 2010s working at huge consumer-facing brands in the CPG space, like Lipton's Tea, Wool's Ice Cream, and Nestle. Hello, Iram.
Hi, Chloe. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Great to have you here. Really looking forward to our topic. But how did you end up in the world of content marketing? Did it start when you were in the CPG space or before that, or how?
Honestly, I feel like content marketing is similar to brand marketing. It's actually a huge part of brand marketing, which is where I started my career. I mean, as you mentioned, I began my career in the giants like Unilever and Nestle. And I always called Unilever as my second university, where I learned everything that I know about marketing, about brand marketing. And, you know, I mean, it's about being obsessed with your customer, their needs, their desires, their wants, and find a way to narrate your brand's story that they would actually desire and they would actually find authentic and eventually buy your brand by relating to it. So basically, it's all about how you narrate that story. And I feel there's a huge resemblance with that when it comes to content marketing, because content is all about, you know, grasping that interest from the customer, driving them through the journey itself and eventually coming up with the action that you want. It can be for them to buy something. It can be a subscription. It can be like creating brand love, depending on the purpose of the content. You have that desired action, and it all starts with the customer, being customer obsessed. So, I mean, after Unilever, after Nestle, I jumped into the B2B SaaS part where I actually started to serve these brands that I used to work for. And it's, again, all about the content that I create for them. This time, I'm obsessed with how marketers are trying to, you know, make their own business, sell more products, or relate more with their customers, find a way to engage with them. And in a way, I try to narrate our own story at Storyly with that. So that's how I ended up in content marketing, I shall say.
Very cool. So very much from originally from kind of that big brand performance, but now in the nitty gritty, how do we drive sales side of things, bringing those two pieces together, which I think is probably one of the biggest challenges everyone has with these content beyond product page content, you know, written product page content, et cetera, to try and make it all make sense. So why is it that we need more than just a couple of product shots and some blog posts on our own channels? Why should we be investing in other formats of content?
I think it starts with just looking at your own behavior as a consumer, as a customer. So how do you consume content today? So obviously copywriting, blogs, text-based content is from the, before 2000s, where we didn't have proper social media. So obviously back then, copy was everything, SEO was everything. I mean, Google search, you had to dominate in order to be able to be found. But now, where do you go for making a search, for instance? You go to TikTok. I mean, where do you go for inspiration? You go to Instagram, check out your reels. So obviously the type of content that we consume today has changed dramatically after Instagram, after TikTok, after Snapchat, after YouTube shorts. So all of that has led to the fact that you need that same type of content experience, differentiating content experience on your own store, be it like your mobile app, be it like your website, when it comes to commerce, when it comes to retail. So the way that we consume content, the way the types that we consume online has changed dramatically. That's why today we cannot say copy is the only way of doing content or product descriptions are the only thing that you need to make perfect in order to drive sales, drive revenue in your business.
Can we do this by simply repurposing the video we've made for our ad platforms or for our social and just slapping that on the website? Or, but you know, it strikes me as that possibly isn't the right way to go, because that content you've done to drive traffic, mm-hmm. whereas the content on your website you want to drive sales. So presumably it's not as simple as going, oh, well, that ad performed well, we'll put it in a blog post. What's the successful way of putting, I guess, video content in particular onto the website?
I think you're absolutely right, honestly speaking, because it's about like the intent of the customer, right? So, I mean, when you're watching an ad, obviously your attention span is quite short. So you need that attention grasping in the first couple of seconds. I remember having these back in the 2010s when I was in Unilever. We had these huge educative workshops with Facebook back then, now Meta. So they were telling us how we shall be presenting our brand in the first 3 seconds, and we shall be giving the top message that we want to convey in the first 10 seconds. Otherwise, we would be losing the customer, the audience totally. But obviously, when it's on your own site, that should not be the case, because they are there with an intent of discovering more, spending more time. So maybe that content piece in your ad should transform into a UGC content or a creator content in your, let's say, website, which is lengthier, which showcases the product in real life, on top of them talking about their experience with the product itself, demonstrating how it looks on them, or maybe even showcasing the pitfalls as well as the nice size. Or it can, even if it's a written format, it shouldn't come from the content writer itself. It can be a testimonial from a customer, for instance. So it definitely, as you mentioned, you can still repurpose content in different parts based on the intent, but definitely one thing that you should consider is the customer intent, what they want to do on that page, like what they want to discover on homepage versus what they want to discover on the product detail page versus what they want to discover on the post-purchase page. So yeah, definitely should differ.
And where do you think we are on the adoption curve of this? You know, because some brands, like if you're in fast fashion or you're in a very kind of, not millennial, Gen Z aging myself, getting the wrong demographic. If you're in a very Gen Z space, you're probably listening to this going, well, obviously, we've been doing that for 12 months or more. More traditional businesses where it's harder to make these changes will be going, oh, but is that 2025? Is that a 2026? How essential is it to be putting this in place if we want to create great customer lifetime value as well as customer acquisition? Because I'm going to chuck both retention and acquisition at you in that question.
Honestly, I mean, as you mentioned, it all depends, of course, on your demographic. But honestly speaking, Gen Zs and millennials are probably going to be more than 80% of your audience as we go into the future. And this kind of practice needs preparation when it comes to especially big brands. So it requires production capabilities, it requires a shift in strategy. We are interviewing with a lot of brands as well as we're working with a lot of brands that are trying to lead the industry. For instance, we work with Stradivarius. They are doing Stories with Storyly, and they are also trying to lead the way with video content. But think about it, they're a huge brand. I mean, obviously they're running like the fashion business globally, and they are trying to bring in the video element to their store today in 2024. So it is actually beginning. It's not like fully adopted everywhere, I shall say, but it is beginning, and it seems like the future of, let's say, commerce, in rich commerce, I shall say. Obviously, I mean, some brands are already doing that. There are some brands, for instance, I remember some of my friends were in the Ecom Expo this year. They heard H&M talking about how they wanted to become the fashion company. I mean, which means like they just want to focus on actually their brand storytelling, their content, and they want to leave the tech side to their partners. I think that's also how the shift in mindset, it shows the shift in mindset. I heard this in the Pulse Vervont event last May, how brand storytelling is becoming more and more important today in order to achieve customer loyalty, because loyalty to achieve in these kind of generations like Gen Zs and millennials is a challenge. So all of this contributes to that. That's why I think we are starting to see more and more brands investing in it. But I still don't think we are in a phase where everyone is doing it. Everyone is trying to understand what's going on. Some brands are leading the way. Some are trying to catch up. But there is definitely a trend there that everyone accepts and tries to learn more.
So for someone who's listening to this, who's going, oh man, we really should be doing this, where do they start? Is it like a case of going, right, we've got a problem with this product not converting, so they'll create some content for this product? Or is it, we're not doing so well at retention, so we'll start on the retention? So do we find a problem and do it? Or do we listen to our customers, see what they want, or find some great UGC? Where's an easy start point for starting our journey and learning how we incorporate this in everything?
You know what I used to love about B2C? The availability of research, which I miss the most in B2B. Because, I mean, you have the resources, the instruments in your hand to speak with your customers and a paramount amount of customers. It can be qual, it can be quant. I used to love doing focus groups to try to deep dive into the nuances in what our customers are saying. So you might remember me all talking all over the place about like being customer obsessed from our BFCM webinar. So again, I would start with customers at this point for brands. Before I jump into this trend, what I would do if I was an e-commerce content marketer or an e-commerce marketer in the first place, ask what my customers would like to see as an experience on my website or in my mobile app. This can also differ one to another, by the way, because website experience on desktop can totally differ from the mobile app experience, and the expectations of your customers may also vary. So what I would do before I jump into the production parts with like or investment in tools or platforms, I would first go deep dive into what my customers want. And the second part would be how I can relate to those ones, like how I can position my brand or how I can narrate my story based on those wants, needs, desires. Then maybe the content creation part can come. And obviously, we live in the world of creator economy, so that part can include the influencer marketing part, which I started to maybe collaborate with actual creators and so on. But again, moving back to your question, I would start definitely with the customer research before I jump into all of that.
I love the fact you mentioned the channels there, because everybody, we're recording this just towards the end of autumn conference season, which is why we're both so full of what happened at events. So I'm going to mention one now. I was at an event earlier this year where someone was saying about how their app performs completely differently to their desktop site, completely differently to their mobile site, because customers are using those channels for different things. So I suppose there's also an element of this isn't a one piece of marketing for all sales channels even. It could be that often apps are more about retention than acquisition. So it might be you add additional content into the mobile app to create the stickiness, to keep them coming back, to give yourself something to talk about, but you don't put it on the desktop or the mobile version. Is that the sort of thing you see clients doing?
I would say they change the way they put content, for instance. When it comes to website, having like picture-in-picture kind of experiences while you're, for instance, trying to, let's say, look over something or discover something, having a video playing in the right-hand side and you know, going around with you, versus when you're in mobile, you're literally immersed into that piece of content and you're just consuming basically only that. So it changes, I say. I mean, you can use the same content, but you can position it differently, or you can even make your mobile app content even more exclusive than your website, because mobile app and every, let's say, customer signal that you get from your mobile app is a valuable data point that you can invest into your customer journey. So that's why I think the way that you position your content, the different content tools that you use, formats that you use, definitely changes in between channels.
Cool. So something else I want to make sure we talk about without running out of time is you've mentioned enriched content, and we hear a lot about shoppable content.
Yeah.
Explain the basics of what it actually is, because I think it seems very, very difficult to people. Then explain how maybe it's easier than we think it is. If it is, what is shoppable and enriched content?
Okay, let me try to explain it from how I view it and how we try to define it. So shoppable content is content which you can perform a shopping behavior while you're consuming the content itself. Like, for instance, when you're watching a video, you would see a product cart or a catalog coming right up from the bottom sheet. And then you can just, without leaving the video itself, you can add it to cart, and then you can immediately go to checkout without any other step disturbing or distracting your overall experience. So that's what we call shoppable content. So it immerses you into content and you don't get distracted by anything else rather than just, you know, go through with the shopping decision or not. Enriched can also include, I believe, interactivity. So what I mean by interactivity is similar to what we see on social. So we are all used to interacting with each other's content on Instagram, on TikTok. We like them, we share them, we comment. We enter into polls because we know immediately we would see the results. So there is a huge benefit of having that interactive element in your own mobile store or in your own online store, because it is a customer signal. And when it is on social, it's not your data. So it's a third-party data. But when it is in your mobile store or in your online store, you would know it's coming from Chloe or Irem and how they answered it. And based on that, you can personalize the overall journey. So it just opens the doors for a lot more to discover. So that's why both shoppable and interactive parts are important and have different levels of importance, I think.
And that's stuff that's literally built into the video.
Yeah.
Rather than some stuff that's on the page the video's sitting on, or stuff that's underneath the YouTube. It's not a buy link underneath the YouTube video in the copy area. It's literally in the video.
Yeah.
How do we set that up?
If you work honestly. Can I? I mean, honestly, that's what we bring on to the table. I mean, that's what we say. We bring in a content experience that is shoppable, that is interactive, and that can also be personalized based on your own, if you plug in your own data. So that when a user is in your store, when a customer is in your store, for instance, a lot of our customers are using a feature of ours called Journey. Imagine this. So you enter and you see either video content or maybe even static content with questions on it, like whether you like this in black or purple, whether you love a jacket or a coat. So when you answer these set of questions, then you will come up with a product group that is completely tailored to your own needs. So it's real-time personalization. Or you come up with a video feed that you watch creator videos, and then you like content, you share content, and then all of a sudden you just decided to buy something. And when you're watching it, there is this product cart right at the bottom that shows the same content, same product, and you choose the color, choose the size, add to cart, and boom, you just finalize the purchase. So all of that is possible via using Storyly. But I mean, as I say, the main idea here is to influence the customer from discovery to purchase with content of your own. So when they have the highest intention to buy, which is basically your own store.
Got you. And is there any, a cheeky question here, but is there a customer example, like a real world example you've come across that's really exciting you about how someone's using this technology and this method to deliver a particular result?
I would say probably Stradivarius nowadays, because I mean, we are seeing real video content coming live in an online store, in a mobile store, in the way that we want it to be seen, because they, you know, there's this perfect match when a customer has amazing content, has the capability of creating amazing content, then they bring it to Storyly. And this content is fitting with the customer's intention at that stage. As you mentioned, for it's not an ad. It's basically a product-driven long-form or short-form content video, which you would need as a customer to be persuaded or inspired to buy. So that's what they bring in to the table, and they play with it so much. I love when customers are doing testing with Storyly content. So they put it on top. They put it as a separate page. They differentiate the covers. So they change the way every time every campaign start, every collection start, they change the way they showcase this content that is very much native to their app design, which is basically the way that we want to see this, because, I mean, it should fit with the overall experience, or else it would look like, I mean, you just carry it Instagram stories and put it there. So I really like Stradivarius as an example and an inspiration.
Cool. We'll make sure there's a link to that brand in the show notes for all of you. Irem, that has been awesome. I was just mulling there whether I should ask you another question or not, but no, I think you've done us proud there. It's been great picking your brains about why copy isn't the only content. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Irem's insider tips on content marketing and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business. Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business, one that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo, that's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my 4-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo. Have you yet downloaded the 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook. Okay, Irem, so far we've gone deep into a whole load of stuff, really. I guess why copy isn't the only content, as well as shoppable videos, video, on-site, native, loads of good stuff. Now you get to ask with your insider knowledge about the whole of content marketing. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with content marketing, which of course does include everything we've already been talking about. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
I would start with saying, when we talk about content marketing, especially in the last year, we always talk about generative AI, ChatGPT. My first recommendation would be, I know it sounds sexy, I know it sounds very effective and efficient, but as a content marketer, I shall say, don't start with creating content on ChatGPT. Start with your own content creation skills being, you know, developed, and afterwards you can just use it to fine tune it. But I feel like this should be the starting point of every content marketer. They need to create their own voice or have the capability of narrating the voice of their customers. And I don't believe that can be done by only using generative AI. So my first thing would be, think about Gen AI as a companion, but not like the main source of your content creation. And again, we talked about copy is not the only way of doing content. So I would say don't think about content as text only, as SEO-driven product descriptions, as anything that has to serve for SEO purposes. Think of it from a customer standing point. Be very much curious about who you serve and what kind of content pieces that they consume. Learn from social media marketing. I mean, every piece of content now lives in social. So, and that means you also need to be more, I would say, expert when it comes to creating video, even though if you yourself is a bit shy on in front of camera, I think content marketers still need to create video content as well. So that's why I would say learn from TikTok creators, learn from Instagram creators, and also try to familiarize yourself with content creation tools. I mean, it doesn't only have to be, I don't know, for instance, like CapCut or any other content experience platforms like Storyly or the others. So just familiarize yourself from the beginning so that whenever you jump into a new role, you can also bring that tool set, that MarTech stack with yourself to your new company to come.
Oh, excellent advice there. Okay, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
My first question would be, what's the purpose of the content? So why you created that content in the first place, whether it's for grabbing attention, creating brand love, or driving conversion. So depending on that, my criteria would change. For instance, if it's about attention, engagement, I would check out the engagement levels, like likes, comments, etc., or like the level of like amount of video shown, amount of video watched, for instance, if it's a video content. But if it is, let's say, for driving conversion, I would check CTRs, I would check conversion, I would check ROI. So depending on the purpose of the content, I would differentiate the way I optimize.
Got you. Yeah, it all starts with, has to start with the goal and the objective. Yep. So often forgotten by people. if someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
I don't want to sound cheeky, but I first would say go and find the content marketing side of Keep Optimizing podcast, which we are in right now, because I also benefit a lot from that. Second thing, I honestly believe that LinkedIn is an amazing resource when it comes to finding people that you can look up to and learn from when it comes to content marketing, because it's all about content there. A couple of people that comes to my mind is, one of them is Will Posket, for instance. He's a great strategist. He shares a lot of great examples from huge brands. I mean, even if you're a niche brand, even if you're starting small, there are lots to learn from the bigs. So definitely I would advise to follow him. There is also Wanda Leonet. I don't know if I pronounce her name correctly, but she's an ex-Puma head of marketing. She has a YouTube channel called Unmatched. I learned a lot from her sessions as well when it comes to brand marketing, brand storytelling. I would definitely advise to follow her. Adi Murray, when it comes to e-com ideas, as well as her content is great to learn from. She has a very conversational tone. I learned a lot from her newsletters. And one last thing is Linda Bustos. She has a 1,000 plus e-com ideas newsletter. I also benefited a lot from her content and also her marketing ideas when it comes to e-com.
Wow, I love those. And thank you so much for the shout out for this podcast too. Anyone who wants to explore our content thread, you can go to the Keep Optimizing website via keepopt.com/content, and you will find all our content marketing episodes listed out there for you. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months we should be getting ready for?
So I would say it's already here, but I think it's going to get even bigger, is social commerce. For the past couple of months, I have seen things like, for instance, YouTube's affiliate program being integrated with Shopify, which means Shopify Plus stores now can integrate their YouTube affiliate program, and their YouTube creators can sell their stuff on YouTube with a single integration without leaving YouTube Shorts. Or Amazon is right now in the risk of having an integration with TikTok. And just recently, Google announced their shopping site to be all video. All of this is telling me that as we proceed, TikTok shopping, Instagram shopping, especially TikTok shopping, is going to be huge. And YouTube is also catching up. So we will see a lot from social commerce. And that's also why I believe content sits right in the middle of this. And that's why e-com sites are definitely going to need to level up their game when it comes to their enriched content experiences on their own stores.
Brilliant. I hadn't heard of the Shopify YouTube integration. So that's a bit, I need to go and revisit my ways of finding out news. But that is, that's mega, isn't it? That's like taking the TikTok business model and expanding it out, basically.
I have seen it going live for a decent level of stores for Shopify Plus in the US. They always try it out in the US and then they just, you know, extend it to the whole world. Right before I came to the show, I just wanted to ensure that because I heard it from the Shopify president on LinkedIn. He made an announcement like a month or two ago. So I totally believe that it's going to be huge. And I think it's all about not shifting people from where they are. So they just want to keep, if they're in the, you know, social media, get them to buy there. If they're in the store, keep them there and get them to buy there. So I think that's the main idea, to make things simple. And again, as you said, make the content shoppable. It's again, it's that right in there.
It's exactly the same thing. Very cool. Love that. Okay. Aram, we are very nearly at the end of the show even. So could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business if they want to find out more?
Sure. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm a very talkative person on LinkedIn. Just DM me anytime you like. You will hear from me probably in an hour's time. And again, you can find Storyly on LinkedIn. And also we have our own website, storyly.io. You can always visit there. And if you want to talk to us, you can just leave your email and we will reach out to you.
Brilliant. Aram, thank you so much for being on the Keep Optimizing podcast. It's been brilliant catching up with you and finding out all that's going on, kind of at the far edges, but not that far away of the world of content. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
So lots there to get you thinking about how you can go about integrating those more interactive forms of video and other content onto your site. Where does it fit? Does it fit on the desktop? Does it fit on the mobile? Does it fit on the mobile app? How are you going to use that? How can you make it feel like it's part of the site rather than some kind of dodgy ad-laden overlay? Loads of opportunity there for the right brands. But I think, as Aram said, if you can start by talking to your customers and working out where they need help and how you can support them with this, then it makes an awful lot of sense. So lots to unpick from that, and absolutely fascinating to hear about how the big platforms are really getting into video content now. Not unsurprising given the march of TikTok and the impact that's been having on everything. But the YouTube Shopify integration, fascinating one to watch. I will be swatting up on that straight after finishing off this recording. And then Amazon and TikTok, well, that is, just makes so much sense. And then the fact that in the Google Shopping, they're going to be adding video content into the shopping tab of the Google search engine. My brain immediately thinks there's going to be an ad play within that. I can only think there's going to be ads involved with that, but we shall see. You can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. And as I said, if you want to get involved with the recommendation of catching up with the content episodes of this podcast, keepopt.com/content. You can also use our special direct episode short link. This works for every episode we've ever put out. Just put keepopt.com/ the number of the episode into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the right page on the website. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. All five of our brand new episodes looking into the content marketing thread are now live. Think of it as your Get Me Up to Date on Content Marketing Fast masterclass. So please do have a listen to them all. You will find them just up your feed if you scroll up a couple of episodes. And you can also use the short link keepopt.com/content to find all of it listed out on the website. Our next masterclass topic is going to be AI. And as Aram was outlining in her newbie advice, how you use AI is whether it works for you or not. So what we're doing is we're not doing just here's some ideas of how you could use AI. We're doing here are some tried and trusted AI approaches that have been proven to work for e-commerce businesses. And here's how to deploy this idea. So that I am very excited to bring you. So tune in next Wednesday to catch the start of our new dive into it all. And make sure you're subscribed to us or following us on your favorite podcast player so you don't miss out on any of that. And if you know someone who's particularly interested in content marketing or upping their game via the time and cost saving realms of AI, please do let them know we're going to be covering all of that. because this show exists to help you and help them improve your marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business. One that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo. That's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my 4-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo. Have you yet downloaded the 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook.